We're here at the Mashup Camp, the PodTech, another podcast with Ross Mayfield.
Hey, John.
All right, good to see you again.
Neighbor.
We were in your office until you're growing so fast. Yeah. Social Tech is expanding.
Yeah.
We were subleasing it. People out there don't know. We were actually in Ross's office. PodTech was formed there, and president at creation was Ross Mayfield to PodTech. And now you're growing so fast. You got your funding was announced a while back, and yeah. You know, Social Tech is booming.
Had to boot you. It's really a shame, actually.
John, we love you, but yeah. My company needs the space that I'm paying for.
Exactly.
So what's happening? What's up?
Dude, I don't know. We're doing hanging out and doing camps again, just like Bar Camp. Here you have this ad hoc event that's being loosely coordinated by a wiki. Simultaneously to Mashup Camp here in Mountain View, we've got Mucho Camp, which stands for Mashup Camp Overflow, Mucho, which we just opened our doors for as... because we were running out of space here for Mashup Camp. What was it, like 250 people signed up before there was a date or a location?
Yeah, so there was a huge, so the folks out there, there was a huge waiting list of people for this camp. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, huge names too. I mean, a lot of people who want to come here.
Right.
And you opened up your office, so Social Text was opened up.
Exactly.
And you're talking about bringing them in here now because there may be a way to sneak them in.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. And it's kind of so we'll probably end up, we are going to fold the two camps in together, and it is a cooperative effort. But it's kind of cool. There's already a couple folks over at Social Tech's office working on something that they'll be able to show off, and people will be able to vote on if it's the best mashup camp or best mashup or not.
We just put a post up this morning about the agenda. People were doing it. But during the session signups, there was a lot of different sessions, but a lot of wiki activity.
Yeah.
There was a lot of unstructured kind of search models, wikis, ahas, and just a lot of different, probably three sessions on just wiki-related mashups.
Exactly.
Talk about that. Why is that?
So, one of the things kind of what's the relation for wiki in this event and what really kind of makes it work, right? So really all this is an extension of the open space methodology, and if you Google that, you'll find out a lot about it. There's a guy who was in the trade show business for about 10 years putting on some of the best tech events. And one day he woke up and had this identity crisis. He recognized from all the feedback that he was combing through, everybody said one thing. The best part of these events you put on is the conversations in the hallways. So he purposely set out to create a methodology for hosting an event that was all about recreating that atmosphere you'd have in a hallway. So with the open space methodology, all it is a really simple principle of you get people together, you introduce a very simple thing with one very basic rule. You know, anybody who comes has to contribute. And the other part of it is you can vote with your own two feet. You can see that methodology actually taped to the walls over here.
And it was announced by Kalia, Identity Woman, in there, who actually went through it.
Right.
Basically, start time is when it starts,
end
time when it ends.
Exactly. And because people are generally good, and if you can let go of a little bit of control, which is something that an event organizer has trouble doing, it ends up working out, and the event ends up being twice as valuable.
This is totally the unstructured data theme.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're all living in this new live web, and we were lucky to have Doc on board to come sit down with me for a podcast. But this whole live revolution is all about unstructured data.
Right.
Mashups and everything.
It's like the web itself, right? You have two approaches. You can have these highly structured approaches for building any kind of app, right, which makes things just generally rigid and imposing the rules that the designer or the coder had in mind of the way the app should be used. The other approach is like the web itself. You just let go of control, base a little bit on some simple open standards, and the most important thing is just the volume of participation. When people are making lots of different contributions in an unstructured manner, the structure starts to reveal itself, such as with a wiki, as people are wikiing away, they'll start creating lots of different links, and that link structure starts to emerge. And that can provide a different kind of emergent intelligence about what's invaluable, what is not.
It's a complete grassroots kind of a platform that over time gets smarter with collaborative filtering and all this new stuff that people are developing.
Right.
But one of the things I want to chat with you about is because obviously you're a thought leader at many different levels, but your business that you founded, Social Text, talks to corporations. We just had the guy from Semantica, one of their internal guys on here, talking about some of the enterprise challenges.
Right.
What are you seeing in the enterprise? He talks about the siloed environment,
right.
And now you have, in essence, them saying we have to kind of clean our face to the front world,
right.
But yet let our people work at the same time, mm-hmm. they have all this legacy stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
That's your job now at Social Text. You're in there mm-hmm. in the enterprise. Give us your taste on what
they're
doing.
It's likely the gentleman from Symantec was a Social Text user, and one of our better customers.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I probably can't talk too much about the use case that they're employing it in, but you have to think about it this way. Their challenge that they have, for example, is Symantec acquired Veritas, a company of equal size.
Yeah.
And so immediately you've got two really big honking silos. So the value of this lateral communication...
The silos within silos.
Yeah, and exactly. Competing silos, it's even worse,
oh,
right?
Oh, my God.
With little fiefdoms of... anyway, the... So that's an ideal environment where you can deploy a wiki, because one of the things that it does is it helps foster transparency and a culture of working openly. That becomes incredibly critical in a merger or post-merger scenario where the real integration risk is, you know, what overlap do we have that we're not recognizing? What hidden assets are we not discovering which are in our people, right? Because if you don't have that information made transparent, management's apt to make decisions just based on, you know, quantitative rolled up reported information and not being able to discover some of the real power and value of some of the people inside the company. Mm. I think what you also get is, I mean, think about it this way. Most innovation is multidisciplinary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it happens when you get when you have different people with diverse skills and backgrounds kind of discovering each other, different worldviews kind of clashing, right? That's the thing that can happen in the case of, let's say, a merger, right? Where one plus one can equal more than two, right? So a lot of that is just very basic communication. What's the difference is, instead of if you don't have a wiki or blog deployment in place and you're actively cultivating a culture of using those tools, what happens is everything defaults into email. And email, as you know, is largely broken because of spam, occupational spam, viruses. Instead, what ends up happening is all the value of that communication kind of disappears below the fold.
Once you go below my fold, you're done.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have time for anything
else.
Yeah,
I have to actually say. Then I'm reactive. Oh, I got to get back. He just left me another email.
Right, exactly.
What email did I miss?
Right. And that's maybe
that
all.
Fell off the earth.
Maybe the only things that's happening, and I don't know, I don't call things Web 2.0, but over here at Mashup Camp is people just finding different ways to reinvent what they wish exists in email and putting it on a web interface, you know. So, I don't know.
The mashup, let's talk about that. You and I have had conversations about, about business models and the challenges. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's a whole other category of developing. In essence, it's a new type of developer. Maybe it's a front-end model. You don't have to be a super programmer to do it. And you're leveraging off other people's works.
Right.
But really, the implications are speed.
Right.
What other implications do you see?
Well, there's hindrances, such as, for building a business model beneath a mashup is a very complicated thing. I mean, you have multiple stakeholders, lots of interdependencies that need to be discovered. The real issue, though, is something actually Larry Lessig will address in his thing, is, you know, you don't have necessarily the right intellectual property scheme for people to develop in a commons. Other thing, though, is that I'd say a lot of the activity that's happening today is not so much about creating businesses, you know, and that concerns me a tiny bit. I think that you'll get, you know, some people just mash, you know, two different APIs, create something that's really cool as a hack, but then to evolve that into something that's a workable product, to evolve that into something that there could be a business model, a company behind, I'm not seeing that much, right? You see a little bit on the consumer side. I can tell you it's definitely not happening yet on the enterprise side. Part of it on the enterprise side is not just the intellectual property scheme, but there's some fundamental technologies that the industry has not been able to agree upon, namely identity, right? In every single enterprise, you have an entirely different implementation of LDAP or Active Directory systems. There isn't a way for you to create an app, and really work across issues of identity and reputation.
It's just the structure is killing it.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, there's just...
it's legacy.
It's mostly legacy, right? I think you're absolutely right in that. But the other part of it is there's all kinds of different approaches for identity. The only truth there is in implementation. You see different approaches. Hearing some interesting things about OpenID this morning from Anil Dash at Six Apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also it should be noted that Microsoft and Kim Cameron have made some really smart moves, kind of recognizing, hey, we aren't going to own everything here. In fact, the whole idea is for us not to own everything. And that's really needs to be applauded. The real challenge, though, is how are these things really going to get deeper into the enterprise, right?
So talk about, from your standpoint, you're involved in a lot of things. So you're building a business, which is great, and you're doing phenomenally, growing like crazy. But, you know, you have kind of another side to Ross, which I've seen, which is you're interested. You have a lot of pet projects that for the good of the yeah. whole right. group, if you will.
Yeah.
What are you watching right now in terms of key areas that you'd want to just share with folks out there right. that would be interested in?
Right.
Key.
I have a fascination with what's happening right now on in the consumer internet side, mostly on video. Full disclosure, I'm an advisor to Dabble, Mary Hodder's new yeah. company. Playing with that, see a lot of promise. But it also, it's about, you have this interesting time
this
where...
whole disclosure thing is a whole other topic.
Yes, exactly. Just see the about page in my blog. But the gist of it, though, is it comes at a time where you have the major players making their attempts to adopt video for the net. You have a lot of movements in IPTV. You have the mobile providers providing fairly high-quality video clips. They're really easily accessible, and that actually putting camcorders into the hands of every single person over the next couple years, just like we have with the camera phone. So I think that's just a really interesting space to watch. Things that I'm, you know, I don't know, what am I playing with now?
World of Warcraft, we know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that's a horrible thing.
Should I leveled, brought that up?
I leveled my paladin to 49 this morning before coming into work, which is really
you
sad.
Were probably so pumped,
yeah,
too.
Exactly.
So, private victory.
It was a small one. The level 50 will be a whole other deal. But so I am in this guild on World of Warcraft that Joey Ito set up called We Know, and what's been kind of cool about that's not just, you know, I did meet this guy who we may end up doing a deal together and know a lot of different colleagues. It's kind of a tech exec-centered group. But the cool thing for me, in all honesty, is I'm playing with my daughter. She's 9. It's been my opportunity to kind of introduce her to online interaction, but within kind of the comfort of this guild where there's...
Is she in your guild?
She's in the guild as well. And so we'll go off and fight monsters together, but I'm letting her interact with other people.
It's like taking your daughter to work.
Yeah.
Taking your daughter to play.
Well, but it's also teaching her about, you know, anonymity, how that 45, that person who says it's a 13-year-old girl may be a 45-year-old guy who's just a worker.
You're watching out
like
for
her. Yeah, well, and there's two approaches, right? I could install a kind of NetGuard, you know, filters to filter out the whole net like China's trying to do.
Now.
Or what I could
CommonSenseMedia.org, those guys, it's all about education.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is not going away. It's going to get they're going to get more and more online.
Right, right. And so I've just found a game where I can kind of let her learn about what's appropriate, what the how scary the net actually can be or how good it can be, and do it in a little bit of a safe environment while killing monsters.
I mean, gaming is fun. I'm definitely pro-gaming.
But there is an interesting thing where the game engines have advanced to such a state right now that they're about some of the most powerful software development platforms there are. Very different from the kinds of stuff that we're appreciating here of lightweight and web native and standard space. And they are closed off fiefdoms, but the interesting thing is the industry about 5 or 7 years ago, because of the evolution of the game engines, kind of bifurcated. So now you have content developers and you have game engines. And the game engine folks themselves have also created all these kits where people can create their own levels and things like that. And you see a vibrant add-on or mod community on top of World of Warcraft. And so a lot of people's first software development experience is going to happen in games. Mm-hmm. And I think it won't be that long. And some of the more interesting plays, you know, in the next, let's say, 3-5 years, may be based on game engines and then applied to entirely different domains, right?
You and I are totally on the same page. We were just talking about that. It's been on other podcasts. Yeah. I think that's the future transaction environment, clearly.
Right.
I mean, if you look at it, I mean, it's a proxy.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I can meet a customer literally with Avatar and do a deal and clear it through PayPal.
Right, exactly. You know? Just like the Wells Fargo branch office on Second Life or something. I don't know. The games won't be as fun when you've got people who are avatars in there spamming you.
Well,
but
they're going to be listening to podcasts. Yeah. I mean, Larry Lessig's been on Second Life.
Right.
I saw that on Eric Rice's site. Yeah. That was really cool. Second Life, and it's got a scripting language, right. High-level programming.
Right.
Talk about when your daughter hits 9, I mean, she's going to hit 10,
yeah.
Introduce her to high-level programming on the Second Life.
Could. Exactly.
So final word for the folks listening all over the world. Right. What's happening at Mashup Camp? What can you describe them? What's the scene look like?
Well, you know, this is this. I've been saying this since around Bar Camp. What you have is this interesting, very different environment in the Valley is back again, and I don't think it's been here since the birth of the PC era, right, where you get people coming together in an ad hoc way. They used to do it in the Hobbyist Computer Club, right? And user groups, you know, where most people actually learned about computing when computing wasn't so easy, was from other people. Here, all this is a bunch of people getting together, the sharing code, the sharing business ideas. That's the kind of thing that's stimulating all the growth and a little bit too much interest in the Valley right now. This is just one event in a moment of time. Someone could create another ad hoc event, you know, next weekend that might blow this one out of the water.
It's a cultural change right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And the good thing, though, is that what is this all based on? Open standards, a level of collaboration between industry players. And
honesty.
Right, yeah. And the interesting thing, though, is the tension that's underneath this entire event is it's the startups that have encouraged these kinds of ad hoc events and a lot of the standards that really are driving growth today, like RSS, for example. But what you have here is, you know, vested corporate interests coming in and trying to learn to play on more of an even playing field than you get in a traditional industry conference. I heard a rumor there was a guy with a tie here earlier this morning. And that's not the worst thing, but I think that's part of what's changing about these events. And so we really wonder, you know, can we have a bar camp too and have it be as grassroots and open door as it used to be? And that model is going to be challenged.
I think if we as a group can set the standard and let us include others, obviously it's including environment, we're not going to exclude people, but the new open unwritten rule is... Mm-hmm. No, as Doc says, vendor sports.
Right. Exactly.
All right, we're here with Ross Mayfield. Thanks so much for the podcast.
My pleasure, John.